Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do thank you so much for being our Father in heaven. We do thank you, Father, that you have given us our parents, and that we have the honor, Lord, some of us, of being parents ourselves. And we just thank you for the wisdom with which you created the earth and everything that is made. And Lord, we fall short at times of what you had in mind for us. But we pray, Lord, at this time that you would help us to think and to ponder on the things that you have to say to us that have already been said to us. And most of all, Lord, that we hear in your word, and that we hear through your Holy Spirit, that you would help us, Lord, to be holy as you are holy, and to honor our mother and our father with respect. I just pray that you bless the time that we spend in your word for a few brief moments, and touch our hearts, Lord, continue to touch our hearts, so that we would go from here closer to you and with a firmer understanding of how great your love is for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got about 5 minutes. I invited a lot of people to speak, and so I'm not going to take a lot of time. But I would like you to hear the word of the Lord. Again, I'll read Leviticus 19, 1-3. And the Lord, this is a little bit different version that you have, perhaps, but it's from the New King James. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" This is the first time that I've ever spoken on Mother's Day, and it hit me a little bit late in the process. I know that when I'm supposed to speak, when I'm given my assignment, but it suddenly dawned on me, I'm speaking on Mother's Day, you know, and I was thinking, what am I going to do, you know? Isn't this supposed to be done by a professional, you know? But I started to think about it very seriously, and I've been very blessed by the whole process. And I had a lot of things going through my mind. God was taking me all over the place through different scriptures, but I came back to this one verse, and I feel like that's what we're supposed to look at today. The one that says, every one of you, this says, every one of you shall revere his mother and father. Revere. Reverence, right? Reverence, revere. You guys have in your Bibles respect, and that's an amazing thing to me, because when I started to do some more looking into things, like in preparation for my sermon, all the things that I came across were saying respect. Respect. And I want to share with you a couple of things that I came across that were very meaningful to me. First of all, does anybody know the name of the person who is supposedly the person who came up with the idea for Mother's Day in America? Okay, well, if you don't, let me tell you. I didn't know either. Anna M. Jarvis, she lived from 1864 to 1948. She first suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers because she loved her own mother so deeply. At a memorial service for her mother on May 10, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea of a day to honor mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities in the U.S. On May 9, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence, there's that word reverence, for the mothers of our country. By then it had become customary to wear white carnations to honor departed mothers, and red to honor the living, a custom that continues to this day. I think that you will probably notice in the writing of this little piece on Anna Jarvis that she had very biblical ideas in her mind when she thought of her mother. The other thing that stood out when I thought about this was that she found and she honored her mother with her mother's favorite flower. Right? But it was her love for her mother that she wanted to be made known, and it resulted in this Mother's Day that we all are observing now. Now later on, once it was made a national day of remembrance, she was very upset with what happened to Mother's Day. She was upset with the emphasis on candy and cards when mothers are so dear and they deserve much more. Now, that's no slam against cards and candy. I think that they're very meaningful. But this next piece that I want to read to you is from another mother, and I think it gives us a little bit more additional perspective on what the Bible is teaching us today. It said, from this one mother, "I had a mom, and I am a mom, and two of my daughters are moms. I loved Mother's Day. It was a wonderful contest, which mom could call the other first. We had gifts galore, and all the love expressed was wonderful, but that's only one day. What do moms really need and want the rest of the time?" So let me share with you the top three things that she listed as being what moms really want. Number one, family love and respect and help in the kitchen. Make your own bed and take out the trash without being asked. That's number one. Make your own bed and take out the trash without being asked. Number two, an unexpected hug and "I love you, Mom." That's number two. Number three, peace and quiet every once in a while. Now, I don't know about you, but Mother's Day often means to us, I wonder if the A&P is still open, because I got to get there before Mother's Day break to get something for Mom, and I hope that there's still some flowers left over there when I get there, and I hope that there's a card left when I get there too, because I want to buy a flower or a card or some candy or whatever it is that I can find at the last minute, because it's Mother's Day. Right, so Anna Jarvis probably would have been very, very unhappy with me. But you'll notice that all those things, as good as they are not making the top three list of these mothers that feel what is important to them as mothers. And I think that that's really what this verse is all about, isn't it? I think that what we have to consider and what God is asking us to do today is to take a look at our lives and to see where we stand in regards to what is important to us. You know, when we think about our mothers and we think about our parents and we think about those things, it's very important for us to take a look at ourselves and see what has happened to us and to fix it. To fix it, to put it in its rightful place, because that's what God is asking us to do. When we look at those verses in Leviticus, it starts out by saying, "Tell the congregation of all the people of Israel, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." So right away we are put into this position and being reminded of what it means to be related to God. Holiness is expected of those who are related to God, and they want to profess, "I am related to Him." You can see that because of my perspective on life and what the standard is that I am living up to. It is the Lord God who is my standard, and my life will be measured against that. But oftentimes we forget about God, and we forget about the importance that He has in our lives. And it says, it's interesting to me that it says right after that, it says, "Every one of you shall respect his mother and father." So what that is saying to me is that that must be pretty important to God. So for all of you mothers today, you must know that you are of great importance to God. And that is your greatest treasure, that is your greatest reward, that you have been given life by God, and He has made you this way for His purpose. And He has made you this way because He loves you and cares about you in a way that only God can love you and care for you. I think that we as children, we need to consider the things that we do and the things that we say in our lives and the way that we act. We're living in a world today where computers and cell phones have resulted in people coming to church and texting each other during the service. That's the kind of world that we live in. And I have to ask you, is that the kind of respect that we are showing to God? Are we to sit down during a time of prayer and talk to each other? Are we to, haven't we lost something? Haven't we lost something when it becomes hard for us to sit down in the beginning of a day and say, Lord, this is your day. To you be the glory and praise. Take this life of mine because it came from you and I want to honor you. I want to respect you in the best possible way. So I'm going to make that the most important thing in my life. I know that most of you have had the same experience of sitting at a computer in your home and someone comes up to you, sometimes your wife or your husband or your whoever, your mother, your father, and they're talking to you and you're sitting there multitasking and you're doing all these different things and you have four different conversations going on in Meebo and you're trying to keep up and you're not listening at all to what the person is saying to you, and they stand there just like some kind of a puppet. Yes, 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 I heard, yes, yes, yes. God is trying to tell us that this is not the way He intended it. Right? And I'm talking to myself the loudest because you get so caught up in these things. I remember working in AT&T and you had like all these people trying to reach you and you're multitasking and everything like that. And I was thinking, how can we be effective in all of our work when we are being thrown into this war of different conversations and thoughts all at the same time? How are we supposed to be functioning as good drivers on the road and being safe stewards of life itself when we are doing those kind of things? You know, and we're all guilty of this. We just buy into this whole thing, and God is telling us today, that's not what I had in mind. What's important to me is a far different kind of life for you. Because I've given you these things and I expect you to show respect to one another by listening to each other and what you have to say, by giving someone your full attention. Right? I read this one thing this week by a father, actually, who was talking about what his father meant to him. And he said, I will always remember one gift from my father. And he gave me this little box and it had a card inside of it. And he said, from now on, my Christmas gift to you is that after dinner, the hour after dinner, every day, until you leave my house, belongs to you. And I will spend time with you for 1 hour. I promise you, after dinner, 1 hour belongs to you, and I'm yours. And he kept his promise until he went away to go to college. And he said that made the biggest impression on me of any kind of thing that my father could have done, or much, much more impression than any kind of a material gift that he could have given to me. We've lost our perspective. We've lost respect for one another. And we can regain it now by these words of God right here. And that's what God wants to say to us. Stop and think about what people in your lives really mean to you. Let's think about what mothers really mean to us. When we look at mothers, we think they want these kind of things from us, but we've heard already from our own mothers and from the mothers here that they have a much different perspective than we think. Right? Mothers were given to us by God to give us life. They represent life themselves. We are born from them. We are formed inside the womb and we come from them. No wonder they have this kind of association, like some of the mothers have been reminding us that they don't care if you've done something wrong. They're always there for you. They're not going to stop loving you. You could do whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is, but they're still going to love you. And you know what that says? It shouts out Jesus Christ. So we have to remember, and this can help us to remember, that mothers remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We said a psalm today that I had on my mind, and I was going to suggest that we read together, and it was read anyway at the beginning, and I feel that's God's leading. What it said was, "Praise the Lord, let all that has life and breath praise the Lord." We have life and breath. And we were given this life through a mother, and so that also reminds us of our purpose to praise God. And that is our purpose that we have to keep in mind as our lives go on, that God has given us our lives so that we praise Him. We have this breath that was given to us. And mothers remind us also of that. I want to share with you one other thing that I read that meant a lot to me. Some of the mothers have already mentioned the importance of God and of passing this on to their children. And Charles Spurgeon was a very, very famous preacher. And he had these words to say about his mother. "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the custom on Sunday evenings, while we were yet children, for mother to stay home with us. And then we sat around the table and read verse after verse, and she explained the scriptures to us. After that was done, there came a time of pleading, and the question was asked, how long would it be before we would think about our state? How long before we would seek the Lord? And then came a mother's prayer, and some of the words of our mother's prayer we shall never forget, even when our hair is gray." The mothers represent life in Jesus Christ. It was very meaningful for me during this whole week to look at God's word and to see His call for holiness in a world that is unholy and is tempting us away from respect for one another and a disregard for human life. It was interesting to me how close we are considered by God almost to, yes, share what He is. He allows us that privilege as His children. And how often do we fail to live up to it because we are satisfied by meaningless things. I hate to beleaguer this, but I know in my own family there are many times that I have hurt my wife because I don't pay attention to what is important to her. And we had a terrible time a couple of years back because of that. We had a terrible time in our relationship, and the bottom line was this: you don't appreciate me. One of the things that I saw online this week also got my attention. It was about what women are lacking from their husbands. And the only thing that they were really looking for was to be appreciated, to be treated as though someone has something important to say. And the other thing that was important for them was to be made to feel as though they were the most beautiful woman in the world to their husbands. So where do we stand? And where does that philosophy fit in with all that you're seeing around you today? See, we don't have to go very far to find out what is important to a woman. We don't have to go very far to find out what is important to our mothers. What we need to do is we need to give them our attention and say, "I'm not using the computer today. Today is your day and my day together, and anything that you want to do is fine with me. And for the next hour after every meal is yours, and I'm going to spend that hour with you." You know what I'm saying? That's what's necessary for us to understand what God is saying to us here. And the biggest thing that I want to leave you with, and I'll stop here, is this. When we disrespect our parents, let me tell you one more thing. There's a guy that I know in one of my classes who said, "Yeah, but." And we used to joke around calling him "Yeah, but." Because no matter what was said in the class, he said, "Yeah, but. Yeah, but." And the professor could come in and he'd say, "Good morning, class." And he'd say, "Yeah, but," you know, he was like one of those people. So that's what happens in relationships, especially with parents and children. The parent says something and immediately the child says, "Yeah, but." And I think that what we need to do is stop saying "yeah, but" to our parents and consider what God is saying to us about their position in the universe, much less our lives, but the universe, their importance to us and what he is trying to teach us. Because if we don't do that, this is the danger. When we fail to obey our parents and to respect our parents, if we continue to say "yeah, but," "yeah, but," "yeah, but," then we start to lose interest in God. Because the two are very close, just like these two sentences in this passage are close. We start to lose our respect for our parents, we lose our respect for God, we don't want to listen to him anymore, and then what happens is that you slowly start losing interest in the church. Because everything starts to become about you and me, and not about other people, and not about the things that are important to God, like honoring our mother and our father. So let's stop saying "yeah, but," and start saying "yes, Mother, who God created and gave to me, and from whom I came, and have my life and my breath, and let me focus on giving praise to God." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers and for this design that you created, this incredible design, and all the individual personalities that are represented. And yet this incredible design of mother and father, help us to respect it, because you are the Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to, through our obedience and giving up what is important to ourselves, that we will be closer to you, that we will begin to understand the greatness of God Almighty, that you are the one who created us, and that you have a purpose for our lives, and that giving praise to you, Lord, is the ultimate reason for our being here. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to obey your word. Help us to thirst for it and to read it and to find the truths that are in it. And lead us through your Holy Spirit so that we can be complete and holy in your eyes. We thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.